Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Here's Pastor Mark Pearl. Enjoy the message.
Tonight I'm going to Romans chapter 8 to start out with tonight. And not quite sure how much of this we'll get through, whether we'll get through it all or not. But if we don't, we'll be back next Wednesday night. Romans chapter 8. And tonight I want to go and just read one verse here. And then we're going to talk about some things just for a little bit here tonight. Romans chapter 8, verse number 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." So tonight I want to talk to you about this law of the Spirit of life. It just seemed like that was just rolling around in my heart yesterday to talk about this, but because that sounds a whole lot better than sin and death. Life sounds better than death. Amen. It's like one pastor had a sign in his office. He said, "I've been rich, I've been poor. Rich is better." Well, I agree with that. Amen. And so the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So we're going to just, I don't know, we're going to teach tonight. We're going to talk about some of this and look at some things maybe. Just give us some things to think about. But there's a law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Now, the Amplified Bible, I think, calls it the law of our new being. Anybody got an Amplified Bible? What's it say, Pastor? Law of our new being. So when we, because this is for new believers. This, when I'm saying new believers, this is for new creatures, is what I should have said. Because it's a law that's in Christ Jesus. In other words, it wasn't here for Christ Jesus. Now, what is this law of the Spirit of life? We're going to talk about that, okay? Sin and death, the law of sin, being in bondage to sin, being in bondage to death. And we're not talking about just physical death, but we're talking about, things that are associated with death. The things that the curse brought in and sin brought in, like sickness and poverty and mental problems and oppression and depression, and all these things are part of the law of sin and death, but we've been made free in Christ. We have a law of our new being. That's not our law. That's not the way we have to live life any longer. We have the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. How many know in Him is life, right? I like what John said about Him. John said in his epistle, 1 John, he said, "The life was manifested." He's the life, amen. He said, "I come to give you life and life more abundantly." Amen. I come to give you life, comma, and life more abundantly. So that's two things. And so one guy said one time, I never forgot this, he said, "You ought to get on the other side of that comma. Not just get life, but come and get the more abundant life." There's a more abundant life that God has for us. Hallelujah. You can get saved. You can get life. You're going to heaven. But God has a more abundant life for those that will press on in. So this law of the Spirit of life, how did this come about? Well, you have to go back to Calvary where Jesus died. And when He was at the cross, He took in all death had to offer. Everything. The Bible says He tasted death for every man. Every man. So this law of the Spirit of life, it's for every man that gets in Christ Jesus. God did it for everybody. Not everybody's receiving it, but He did it for everybody. And so Jesus literally swallowed up death for the believer. He took all that death had to offer at Calvary, and it wasn't enough to keep Him dead but 3 days. He came back. The Bible says in Acts, it was not possible that He should be held by death. It calls Him the Prince of Life or the Author of Life. I hope you see what I'm saying. There was so much life in Jesus that he swallowed everything death had to offer, and it wasn't enough to keep him dead. Right. Too much life in him.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And so we're just exploring this tonight for a little bit. And he's going to talk about there's scriptures like 2 Timothy says that he abolished death. And he brought life and immortality to the light. Now, we know people still die physically, but that's abolished. That's going to end. There's an end coming to that. There's a day when the Bible talks about the last enemy, death, will be put underfoot. You hear preachers sometimes at funeral, and they talk like God and death are tied together with a short string. But death's an enemy. I said death's an enemy. God called death an enemy. He didn't call it a friend. He didn't call it a blessing. He called it an enemy. Amen. I've been many times preaching funerals, and you go to the graveside, and you're getting ready to bury that loved one, and you're saying your final goodbyes, but it's only for now, if they're a believer, because death can't keep them down. Hallelujah. They're coming back.
Amen.
Praise God. Because even though we may experience what we call physical death, the Apostle Paul said, for me to die is gain, it's promotion. Hallelujah. We don't think about that, but when one of our loved ones in the Lord dies, they get promoted.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. I always thought about Lazarus. You know, Lazarus, he died. Remember that? And how many know, in those days, when somebody, when a righteous died, they went to a place called Abraham's bosom. So, most likely, that's where Lazarus is at. He's in paradise. And all of a sudden, I don't know, you know, he's been there for 4 days. And then on the fourth day, he hears a voice that sounds pretty familiar. And it's saying, Lazarus, come forth. He's probably thinking, no, please, don't let this be. This can't be what I think it is. My sisters have got a hold of Jesus. I mean, that sounds funny, and it is funny, but it's probably a reality. He was somewhere. He wasn't in hell. He wasn't floating around the earth tormenting his relatives. He was in Abraham's bosom. He was enjoying paradise. I heard a story. Some of you may have heard it too. I can't remember his name right now, but he was a really close confidant of Oral Roberts. And I can't think of his name. But anyway, he had a heart attack and died and went to heaven. He got up there and he described what he saw. He was on this, he was like, he said, it was kind of like he was out, kind of like in a country place. And he said he saw the city of God. And he was running towards it. And all of a sudden, I think he heard his wife's voice calling him back. And he came back into his body. And when he got back in his body, he said, Charlotte, why did you do that? Amen. How many know that's the reality of things, right? It's like, you know, we think about, you know, because, you know, all of us, if the Lord tarries, we're going to die physically. We're going to leave our bodies, right?
Right.
So, you know, you just don't get, every time I talk about this, everybody just, listen, we may not like to think about it, but it's going to happen. Everything in life, is going to die. Amen. Your goldfish is going to die. Amen. Everything is. But the thing of it is, for us believers, that's when it really starts getting good.
Right.
One preacher said it like this, and I think it's right. He said, when you do go, he said, if you're a believer, you'll depart, you'll look down on your body, and he said, what you'll be thinking is, thank God that's over with. You got to know that. Because listen, if you're a believer, the most hell you're going to ever experience, you're experiencing it right now. And I don't know about you, I think life is good. I'm enjoying my life since I got hooked up with Christ. But if you're an unbeliever, the most heaven you have is right here. This is as good as it gets. Because you're going somewhere when you die. And my mother one time pulled in the filling station, and you know, that was in the days when they pumped your gas and they washed your windshield. Remember that? How many remember that? I remember that. They check your oil for you and all. And so the guy's cleaning her windshield, and she says to him, "Where would you go if you died?" He said, "New Jersey." Well, that might be bad, but it isn't about just where you're going to go if you don't know Jesus, all right? No, no offense to New Jerseyans. But y'all know you can be rude sometimes because, I mean, I'm you just can. But anyway, that's just your nature. But anyway, not all of them. Anyway, well, we just lost all of our friends from New Jersey. Praise the Lord. But, you know, the worst it gets is it for us is right here. This is the worst. This is as bad as it gets. And I think, personally, I'm living pretty good. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying the Lord, enjoying His fellowship, and blessing. Amen. So it just gets better from here. Amen. So this law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is a law that you and I can live by. We can choose to live by. Or you can still be born again and still live somewhat in the law of sin and death. There are laws. I mean, laws work because there are laws, right? We all know about the law of gravity, right? You know, you jump off the building, you're coming down. Why? Because it works. There's you can supersede it for a while through the law of lift, but it's the law of gravity is still working. One time I was up in a plane, and I was taking flying lessons, and the instructor could tell I was a little tense, and he thought I was tense because he thought I was afraid he was going to crash. Well, he didn't know that wasn't it. It's because when you first... Someone described it like this. He's trying to drink through a fire hose. When you first start, there's so many information that you got to do the checklist. You got to do this. You got to do that. When you get up in the air, you got to make sure you put right rudder to it to keep it straight. Yada, 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 yada. And so all that's overwhelming me. And he can tell I'm tense. And he goes, he said, "Look, I'm going to shut the motors off." I don't recommend that. But he did. He shut the motors. He says, "See, we're not going to fall out of the sky." I'm just thinking they better start back up or we're going to land. You know what I'm saying? But once he shut them off, have you know, we're on our way down. Once you stop living by faith, you're on your way down. Right? You see, one of the things that's going to cause you to operate in the law of life is faith. The Bible says if there was a law given, this is Galatians 3, if there was a law given that could give life, righteousness would have become by the law. In other words, God said, if I could just make one law up, you keep that, you'll get life. He said, I would have done that. He said, but it wasn't possible. So righteousness comes by faith in Jesus Christ. So we only get life through faith. How many remember Enoch? Because of faith, he didn't die. Right? He was translated that he should not see death. Amen. So, you know, you go on and the Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please God. Amen. So we see all kinds of things. There's all kinds of things in the Bible that talk about our faith and how faith really causes us to walk in the law of the Spirit of life. Think about it. Amen. We are saved by faith, right? By grace are you saved through faith. The word saved is the word sozo, delivered, healed, preserved, do well, make whole. All of those things are associated with that. So if we're going to walk in the law of the Spirit of life, we got to walk by faith, not by sight, which means I choose to believe what God said regardless of what I see going on, right? I may have a battle. I may have some things like we talked about a while ago, you know, the guy that said, well, healing must be healing's not right because, look, this guy preaches on healing and he's battling something in his body. Wait a minute. We're all human. We all battle things. We don't base what we believe on what's going on in us. We base it on what God said.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Like I said, I believe in holiness. Y'all still believe in holiness?
Yeah.
But there are times I miss it. Come on, how many? All right, we went through this Sunday morning. How many know we met, right? And we got this figured out that we still miss it every now and then, right? At least a couple times every 10 years. So how many know that doesn't do away with holiness, does it? It just means we failed, we fell short, or whatever happened, happened, but it doesn't do away with the message, right?
That's right.
Amen. So I believe that God meets our needs. But have I ever had time when my needs weren't looking like they were met? Absolutely. But it didn't change the word. It just means I haven't received it yet. Whatever. It's not God, right? Remember, there's 30, 60, and 100-fold results with the word, Jesus said. So we just keep striving until we get more results. Amen. Nobody's born again and they just 100% are all the time. How many know you grow into that, right? All right. So faith. Think about this. How about identifying with Jesus? Do you know Christians get saved because they're not taught principles of victory? They identify with Adam. You ever heard the saying, we're just old sinners saved by grace? That's an identification with Adam. Now, we were old sinners, but we got saved by grace. And when we got saved by grace, we became the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So we now start identifying with Jesus, not Adam. That's the old creation. We're in the new creation now. God made a new creation. We got in it when we got born again. See, we're seated in heavenly places with Him. So we don't identify with Adam, but yet so many Christians still identify with Adam, and that is why they don't operate in the law of the Spirit of life. They're identifying with the curse instead of the blessing. How many know we're not the sick trying to get healed, we're the healed. Satan trying to take our blessing away from us. So you have to identify right. How can you say you're healed when you don't look healed, you don't feel healed? Because the Word says I'm healed. I'm not lying about it and tell you I don't feel bad or I don't have this. No, we don't call things that are as though they are not. We call things that are not as though they are. So there's a difference there. So I'm not trying to lie about it. I'm not trying to deceive you. You know, I'm not trying, because, you know, sometimes I've seen faith people hide their sickness. Oh, I don't want anybody to know I'm sick. Well, how many know you've been sick before? You ain't hiding nothing from us. Why? Because we just as human as you are. Prettier than you are, but just as human. How many understand what I'm saying? So that's deceptive, right? It's pride. It's pride. Because, I mean, I know guys that have, you know, faith guys and got something wrong with it, and they hid it from everybody. They didn't want anybody to know about it. Secretly, maybe, you know, go into the hospital under persuado name. Did I say that right? Let me say it. Wait, back up here. Is that even a word? I use whatever words I can find, which is just not a lot. Okay, say it to Greg. Wait, what? Pseudo? Like pseudo? That's Japanese. What are you talking about? Had to get an engineer to help me out. How many know that's you don't need to do that? I think one of the problems with people sometimes is we hide the fact that we have challenges. I don't mean we should go singing about our challenges, talking about our challenges, or confessing our challenges, but it's okay if we have challenges. That's what faith is for.
Yeah, that's right.
Through faith, things were done. Remember the Hall of Faith? All those people were going through some things, and through faith, they got victory, praise God. So I'm just simply saying we need to make sure that we identify with Jesus. We don't identify with Adam. We don't think curse-minded. We don't think sickness-minded. We don't think death-minded. We don't think poverty-minded. We think what we are in Christ. We don't think defeated-minded. We're not afraid of the devil. Right? We're not afraid of demons. Why? Because we are connected to Jesus Christ, and He was master over everything, demons, sickness, disease, lack. He could take all 5,000 members of the church, that's just the men, women and children, probably 15,000, and feed them. Could you imagine that? With two loaves and two loaves and five loaves and two fishes, and then have 12 baskets full left over. Who you think got them? Probably the little boy that gave them. Yeah. He came home with, you know, he had to do some explaining to his mama. How'd you get that? A man named, you know what I'm saying. But anyway. But, you know, we have to identify with Jesus. How many know we have to watch our words if we're going to operate in the law of the Spirit of life? See, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Right? What? Death and life. Listen, there's another scripture, Proverbs 15:4 says, a wholesome tongue is the tree of life. And the cross reference says the healing of the tongue. When you get saved, your tongue needs healed. You need to change your speaking. You need to change you need to talk in line with your identification with Adam or Jesus, not with Adam. Right? Think about it. You know, Jesus, the Lord told, he told Adam in the garden, he said, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat of it, for the day you eat of it, in that day you will die. Now, he didn't die physically, but he died spiritually. Yeah. Eventually, he died physically. But he didn't die that day, right? But he did die that day. Yeah. See what I'm saying? Yeah. He didn't die physically that day, but he died spiritually. He let the law of sin and death in. Jesus is the one that brought in the new law that supersedes that. So, anyway, but the Amplified Bible says it this way, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and of blessing and calamity. Right. Blessing and calamity. Well, that's good and evil, right? Blessing, calamity. Now, I'm convinced one of the things that happened was Adam's tongue got polluted. After the fall, what came out of his mouth? I was... what? Afraid. Did he get that word from God? No. God says, fear not. Right? So there's no place, there's no time God's ever been afraid. Amen. So we understand that something happened with something got a hold of his vocabulary. See, and what did the Bible say? The Bible says that God, what did the Bible say? I don't know what the Bible says, a lot of things. The Bible said that God drove him out of the garden and put a cherubim there with a flaming sword to keep the way of the tree of life, lest he should eat thereof and live forever. What does that mean? After he got connected to Satan through that fall, if he'd have eaten of the tree of life, he would have lived forever in that state, that damned state. See? I'm convinced Satan would have loved for that to happen. He'd have had his own race of doomed, of death men. But God drove him out. Took the tree. You look in Revelation, it says the tree of life's in the paradise now. He moved it. He took it off. All right. So, but I'm just simply saying, see, the Bible talks about this with our tongue. It says that it's full of deadly evil. It's poison, deadly poison. No man can tame it. You can't tame it yourself, but the Word can tame it. Right? You know, you may get saved and you're still blankety blank blanking all over the place. Yeah, minister had this lady come up, and she just had given her life to Jesus Christ. She lived on the streets, just giving her life. He said, why don't you come up and give your testimony? And she just going, blankety blank blank, I'm so blankety blank glad I got saved, blankety blank blank. And she could tell the expressions on the people that it wasn't going well. She looked at this minister and said, am I saying something wrong? He said, no, you're doing fine. He said sometime after she came, he said, I am so sorry. How many know you got to get the word in you to clean you up? Right? You can't let, we don't want to be, when you got to give new converts a lot of grace. Amen. You don't want to be religious and expect them to live like you do. Right? Right off the bat. They got to grow, right? Amen. So you don't always know. You got to read the word. You got to find out. We had a woman in this church. She got saved. And one Sunday, she decided to read the book of Luke. And she said, Sunday night, she says, oh, my gosh, I read the book of Luke. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what all she'd found out that convicted her, but something happened. You know, people don't know it unless you preach it. That's what's so sad about church today is you get preachers that are not preaching the word and their people don't know any different. I mean, I see Christians do things and say things and I'm thinking, you know, don't you know any better? And the truth is a lot of them don't because they don't ever hear the word. They only hear the word. We need God's word. Amen. So how many know if we're going to walk in the spirit of life, we're going to have to talk right. Amen. You know, we're going to have to talk right. We're going to have to make right decisions. God said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Choose life. See, the Bible says, he that sows to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I mean, every time you sow to your flesh, you get a harvest, don't you? But it's not a good harvest. It's a spoiled harvest. Right? One of the worst things for me is spoiled milk. I never drink milk until I sniff of it. I'm sorry I put my nose up there. Don't drink any of mine when you come to my house. But I'm going to smell of it. You know, I'm going to make sure this stuff is good to go. You know what I'm saying? Because it's got an expiration date on it. And, you know, and so, you know, we do things. If we sow to our flesh, that's what we get. That's what we reap. We reap back spoilt milk. It's bad. It's a bad harvest. It's a corrupt harvest. But if we sow to the Spirit, we shall the Spirit reap life everlasting. So we have to think about that every day. What is this decision I'm making? What's it sowing to? Is it sowing to the Spirit? Is it sowing to the flesh? Because I'm going to get a harvest off of it. Do I want this harvest? Do I want this harvest? See, you plant a garden. How many know? Generally, you only plant in there what you want. Well, I mean, you might plant for the family members. You know, if I planted a garden, it'd mostly be corn. I'd plant some tomatoes because my wife loves garden tomatoes. So I'd plant some tomatoes just for her. And, you know, but I'm going to plant what I want to reap. I'm not planting marijuana. Well, used to I would have wanted to reap that, but now I don't want to reap it any longer. That's not what I want. So you got to make right decisions. How many know that? You got to decide to be a doer of the word. Right? So if we're going to walk in the law of the Spirit of life, we're going to have to decide, I'm going to be a doer of the word. Whatever the word tells me, I'm going to do it if it rakes all the flesh off of me. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. So there's certain things that we have to do, you know. We have to be spiritually minded. The Bible says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Once we're saved, we're supposed to change the way we think. I mean, God said, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways. Right. But you know what? He could have stopped there and said, yeah, take that. But he went on and said, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall accomplish it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. And it talks about just like the rain comes down, the snow from heaven waters the earth and makes it bring forth. But he said, that's what my word will do in your life. Because whether you know this or not, thoughts become ways. You think something long enough, you end up doing it. You guys, you think about the new truck long enough. You sniff around long enough. It's like one guy said, he went to the car lot, pulled in, salesman came out and said, can I help you? He said, I'm just looking. He said, that's the way it starts. Have a look. Come and see. Let me open the door and let me smell this leather. Rich Corinthian leather. Ah, belongs in my garage. How many of you keep thinking that? Your wife has to adjust your thinking. Or maybe she doesn't. Maybe just go ahead and do it. But you understand, like a guy tried to give me his, remember that one night, a guy called me about 10:30 and said, I want to give you my van. Remember that? We was in traveling ministry at that time, and I needed a van to travel with. And this guy called me and said, hey, I want to give you my van. It's like 10:30 at night. He calls my house. You know, we don't have a cell, that was before cell phone. So he calls the, you know, landline, you know. It's on the wall. You know what I'm talking about? How many old enough know what I'm talking about? It's on the wall. You know what I'm saying? And so he said, the Lord told me to give you my van. For your ministry. I said, have you talked to your wife? No. I said, I think you better go talk to your wife. So he wakes her up out of sleep and says, I'm giving the van away. I mean, you know, but you see, there has to be this spiritual mindedness where we fill our minds with the things of the Spirit instead of just the things of the flesh.
That's right.
Amen. And so, you know, that's what I told this guy. You better go talk to your wife because there better be some agreement there because you don't want, you know, you better get her mind on that too. Amen. Anyway, so we do these things. If we do certain things, I mean, we walk in the law of the Spirit of life. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. We'll close right here. Did you get anything tonight? 1 Timothy chapter 6. Go there, and we'll close with this because I like the law of the Spirit of life. It sounds a lot better to me than the law of sin and death. Amen. So keep your mind filled with the things of the Spirit. Don't think like the Gentiles think. Paul said they walk in the vanity of their mind and they're alienated from the life of God. Don't think that way. Don't think like the world. How many know that? See, we're trained, and you don't watch it. Believers are just allow themselves to think just like the world thinks. Don't do that. We're not people of the world. We're people of the kingdom. Amen. See, because you know something goes around. People say, "Well, I'm going to." Christians say, "Well, I'm going to get it," because they say, "Well, listen, I don't care what they say. You're not of this world. You're of the kingdom." Yeah. I say, "Well, you know, you can expect this or expect that. I mean, economy's going down. You can expect to not have any money. I'm not expecting that. I'm not going to expect what the world expects. I'm not walking in the vanity of my mind. I'm going to walk in the renewed mind." Yeah. Amen. All right, praise the Lord. Amen. Look at this. In Timothy, 1 Timothy 6, verse 12 says, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you're also called and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. So Paul tells Timothy to lay hold on eternal life. Isn't that interesting? Let's talk about this before we go. Eternal life is not just a time frame. You study this out, you know, because it's called eternal life, you think time. You think about time. Well, it is eternal, but it's deeper than that. It's a quality of life. See, the Greek word, which many of you probably know, is zoe, Z-O-E. All right, that's the Greek word. The definition of that, this is W.E. Vine's definition, I like this definition, of the where it talks about life in the New Testament, you know, the law of the Spirit of life, it's the law of the Spirit of Zoe, that's the Greek word, and it means this. Are you ready for this? This is what God has given us. Are you ready for this? This is what God has given us. It'll just show you how far below what we have we walk in sometimes, all of us. Amen. This kind of life is described like this. Life in the absolute sense. Life in the absolute sense. Let's talk about this for a minute. There's more definition, but let's talk about that just for a minute. Absolute, you could call absolute life. What would absolute life mean? There's no presence of death whatsoever. Right. Amen. It isn't there. See, this church is heated and cooled by heat pumps. There's one for the sanctuary, one for the offices, one for the children's church. Okay? Now, in theory, you may have to help me with this, Jason, because you know more about this than I would. But in theory, there's supposed to be heat in the air even when it's zero. Okay? So what that heat pump is going to do is it's going to pull the heat out of the air and bring it into the building before it kicks the electric, what am I trying to think of, brother? Auxiliary heat, the electric heat on in the furnace. When that runs in the furnace, that costs a lot of money. When this is doing it, it's not costing much, okay? So it's going to pull that in. Now, help me out, brother, if you know something different. But I read one time when I think absolute zero, absolute cold is like 400 and some degrees below zero, 440 degrees. So if it ever gets 440 degrees below zero, our heat pumps aren't going to work. Don't come to church. It'll be cold in here. But in theory, that's theory. Everybody say theory. Reality, they won't. But in theory, they're supposed to work until that. They're supposed to be able to pull some heat out of the air. All right? So, 440 degrees below zero is cold. How do you know? I'm just imagining that. All right? How many know God is absolute life? There's no death in Him at all. It's just not there. The Bible says in that there's no shadow of turning with Him. The Scripture says, the Scripture says there's no darkness in Him at all. Well, that's 1 John, and what that really says is there's not even one particle of darkness in God. It's not there. He's absolute life. He's absolute love. Amen? So, this life that God gave us is absolute life. It's enough life, listen now, it's enough life to cause us to live forever. That's a long time. Now listen, this is the definition of that. It's life in the absolute sense. This is the life God's given us. It's life as God has it. He goes on to define it, that which the Father has in Himself, which He gave to the Son to have in Himself. So that's the kind of life God gave us. When it says the law of the Spirit of life, that's the life that God gave us in Christ Jesus. Amen? Now, let me say this to you. Why does it seem like it's harder to bring forth good things than it is bad things? Let me tell you this, okay? That's because production of good things in the earth has to be forced because of the curse. I'm going to say it again. Production of good things in the earth must be forced because of the curse. Think about it. Which comes up easier, weeds or grass? Right? You don't see anybody out there, I'm fertilizing my weeds. Although I do see people doing it in our neighborhood. It's like, that's weeds, brother. I don't know what you're doing that for. It's going to help them grow. You got to get some grass in the ground. So, what? How many know weeds just come up automatic? Grass, you have to sow. You have to water it. If you want it really good, you got to fertilize it. Right? See, my yard, I fertilize it. I water it, sometimes aerate it, overseed it. Why? Because you have to force it. You have to force it. It's good. Weeds, automatic. Amen. But here's the good thing. Once you learn to start forcing production of good things in your life and good things start taking over your life, they keep the weeds out. The greatest defense, everybody knows anything about grass, the greatest defense against weeds is a good, healthy stand of grass. If it's thick enough, the weed seeds go in there and can't germinate because they can't get light. But you have to force that. Amen? Production. I hope you're getting this because this explains a lot. Why is it so hard for me to receive my healing? Because you got to force it. You got to fight the good fight of faith. I'm not saying it's always that way, but there are times it is that way, right? I mean, I've had times things manifested immediately. Praise the Lord. That's the way I like it. I'm like Burger King. I want it my way. But sometimes we have to fight a good fight of faith, right? We have to force production. What do we do that? We're fertilizing the Word with the Word, with more Word, right? With our confession, with our prayer, with our belief. We're fertilizing that, and we're forcing production of good things because it's just, in other words, if you just let back and you go with the flow, you're going to be in the curse because the flow of this planet right now is the curse. Even Paul told us that creation is groaning for the manifestations of the sons of God. It wants out of this mess. It wants, We don't even know what all creation's going through because of the curse. But Paul said it's groaning within itself to be delivered from this curse. Amen. So that's flowing, and we need to know that. One of the things that the Lord told them after they sinned in the garden, he said that thorns and thistles will come up. So you can't just go with the flow. Bringing forth life is harder because of the curse. Weeds are automatic. Bad things are automatic. If you're a Christian and you get saved, and all you do is just get saved, you don't go any further in your learning and in your Bible and in your faith, you don't do any further than that, I can promise you bad things are going to come up in your life. And a lot of people will find a church where the pastor will tell them it's the will of God, so they could pacify them. Instead of giving them the truth and say, hey, you can fight that with the Word of God. You can fight that with your faith. You can find out what God said and fight that. You don't have to just accept that. Right. Yeah, right. It may be there, but you don't have to just live with it. We'll fight it. Amen. Yeah. Right? And so we don't want to listen to that kind of stuff. Amen. But I've seen that as a pastor. I've seen people, some tragedy came in their life, and so, you know, they just accepted that this is what God wanted. And you know, that produces bitterness in your life. That produces hopelessness. I'm glad I'm just not left to this cursed world. Amen. I'm glad God's given me the law of the Spirit of life. Amen. How many are glad for that law? It's made me free from the law of sin and death. I don't have to live under that sin and death. Oh yeah, I have to fight it. It's kind of like we talked about with gravity. Gravity works all the time. The law of sin and death right now is working all the time. But there is a higher law. It supersedes it. It's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. It's just like the law of lift. If you got wings and you got thrust, man, you put the power to that plane and you pull back on that yoke, at a certain point that's going to rotate, take off in the air, and man, as long as you're doing the right things, you're going to stay up there. You quit believing, you quit talking right, you quit identifying with Jesus, you quit thinking right, you quit making right decisions. You know, if you quit doing those things, then you're going to shut the motor off and you're going to start to come down. But it's not because the law is bad, it's because we stopped working it. Amen. You can't make bad decisions all the time and expect good results. You got to make right decisions. Amen. You know, God will never tell you. I know people, sometimes I've heard people say, well, God told me to do that, and it's contrary to the Word. How many know God's never going to tell you, amen, to do something contrary to the Word? Well, God told me to stay at home and have church at home. No, He didn't. Well, I know I heard Him. No, you didn't. I'll tell you how I know you didn't hear Him. He said, don't forsake the assembling of yourself together, but so much the more as you see the day approaching. So you can tell me you heard from God all you want to, but you didn't hear from the God of the Bible. The God of the Bible said, be here. That's what He said. Well, I've got a special. You don't got special nothing. God never violates His Word. Amen. Well, God told me, you know, I've heard that all through the years. God told me. But if it doesn't line up with the Word, it can't be God. Amen. God told me to divorce my wife and marry this other chick over here who's 20 years younger. She's got a Corvette. All my wife has got is a Buick. You want to obey God? Stick with your 20-year older wife and drive the Buick and be blessed. Right? You wouldn't believe some of the dumb things people, well, maybe you would believe some of the dumb things people say and blame it on God. It's like, God told me, you know, God told me. God told me that, you know, to rob that bank. I've heard people say, God told me to shoot him. Yeah, have you ever heard that? How many know He didn't tell them that? They heard something, but they didn't hear from God. He always lines up with His Word. He always lines up with His Word. Amen. And I've heard people tell me that. I mean, I've had that before. Well, the Lord told me to stop going to church. You know, there's nothing but hypocrites there. Well, go to hell. There's a bunch down there. No, how many know God didn't tell you that? Right? Hey, why is it? I'm meddling now because I'm done preaching. Well, why is it? It's always the person, you know, like one pet minister said, he said he had this lady in his church, as an older lady, and said she's always causing issues, always in strife with people. And finally she came to the pastor. Pastor said, she told him, she said, I'm leaving the church. He goes, why are you leaving? She said, there's no love here. How many know it's the person, it's usually that's the person that's the problem. There's no love here. I love what he said. He said, sister, the fact we let you stay here proves we walk in love. That's great pastoral counseling, isn't it? It might shorten your time in the ministry, but that's great pastoral counseling. Like, the fact we let you stay proves we're walking in love. Amen. Did y'all get something tonight? Let's all stand up. Thank God for the Word. Amen. And thank God for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.